Beloved radio friends, in the precious and worthy name of the Lord Jesus, 'tis our joy to greet you once again and give you an earnest invitation to enjoy with us and receive a blessing from God through the study of His precious Word. We now continue in the fourth chapter of our Galatian epistle, where we shall begin to find that the beloved Apostle Paul discusses his own relations with the Galatian saints, for he was fully aware that the legal teachers of Judaism who had infiltrated the churches of Galatia had turned those Galatian believers, turned them in heart, away from the beloved apostle himself. He realized that through the influence of these false teachers, they had not only been turned away from the great truth of the gospel, but they had also been incited to turn away from Paul himself. He was undoubtedly grieved, and perhaps they too had some attitude that was wrong toward Paul. They may have undoubtedly assumed, because he did not follow the Jewish traditions, that he had completely or no use for the law. But the apostle did use the law. We would like to remind our listeners that the law has its place even today. For as he wrote to Timothy in chapter 1, verse 8 and 9 and 10, it had to be used properly. And altogether, the law has to be used to deal with the unrighteous and with the ungodly. But the Galatians found fault with him without question, because he did not stand up for his Jewish privileges. He could, and he did, use the law of God, as we have already suggested, for moral principles and for dealing with men who were unsaved. But never as a Christian did Paul use the law as a rule of life for himself. Paul knew he was on a higher ground than law. Paul knew that he was under grace, where God through the gospel had brought him into a better, a far better condition and place. Now listen to his argument. We begin reading Galatians chapter 4 and verse 12. Paul says, "Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as ye are. Ye have not injured me at all." Now, what does Paul mean when he pleads, "Be as I am"? Plainly, he is declaring to them, "Be free from the law, for I am, as being dead in it in Christ. Take your place boldly and with firmness with me, with the certainty that the will of God is that you have no direct relationship to the law. Be as I am." And they knew Paul was not living as a rule of life under the law, but under grace and the gospel of Christ. And Paul is just saying, these Judaistic teachers, they are telling you that I do not assert my legal rights as a Jew. And he says, "That's right, I know it." And he says, "I preach it too." There's one thing you've got to say about Paul: he practiced what he preached. And now his attitude toward them is this: "You Gentiles were never under the law, and you were never in a Jewish position. Do not seek it now, for under grace you're in a better position. You were Gentiles and have never been and are not under the law at all." And now he says, "I am as you are. You were only Gentiles and had nothing to say to the law. And now I'm brought outside of the law as much as you. Not because I have become a Gentile, no, but because I have been delivered from the law in and through Christ. I'm not under the law. You are not under the law. We are under a greater thing and in a greater position. We are in Christ." Now, if they were afraid they may have injured or grieved the apostle by their actions, he assures them in verse 12 at the end of it, "You've not injured me at all." But following in verse 13 and 14, Paul declares of how he had come to them with the gospel, and he tells how they received him. Listen to his words. Ye know how, through infirmity of the flesh, I preached the gospel unto you at the first, and my temptation, meaning my trial, which was in my flesh, ye despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Now when Paul came for the first time with the gospel into the region of Galatia and came to these people, he came as one who was a suffering man. And he came not in the spirit of self-confidence and overbearing authority. Paul knew he had an infirmity that was a great trial to him in the flesh. Paul knew that this was causing him much suffering. We have no knowledge what was his bodily sickness, whether it had to do with his speech, with his eyes, or even what else. But we do know it was connected with his bodily condition in his flesh. And he came and preached the gospel to these Galatians, though he suffered much, and made no boast of his Jewish background, and with no outward attraction to his person. But what did these Gentiles think of him when he first came to them? Well, when they heard him preach the gospel, their hearts were so full of the gospel, they were so happy in learning the grace and the blessedness of the good news he preached. They even regarded him as an angel of God. They even received him even as if he were Christ. They loved him so dearly then, that he writes in verse 15, "Where is the blessedness ye spoke of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, ye would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me." Their deep affection when Paul reached them with the gospel was so great, and it was so great, and yet now it had been completely alienated by the false teachers. For false teaching will always bring this alienation against the very person who has been a true servant of God. In fact, instead of love for Paul, Paul says you begin to show your enmity. For he declares in verse 16 and 17, "Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously affect you. They would exclude you that ye might affect them." Now Paul is very, very blunt and plain to declare, these false teachers, they have shut out me, they've shut me out from the saints, and he knew it. They had made barriers between the saints of God and the Apostle Paul, who had led them to Christ. And no doubt, as this barrier was made, the Galatian saints and these Judaistic teachers, they were flattering one another. For when you follow the law, you're invariably perverting it and puffing up the flesh and developing pride. Now Paul says, though you may have been zealously affected by these false teachers, it hasn't been done in the right way. For it is a good thing to be zealously affected always. It is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. There seems to have been quite a difference of character between these Gentile believers in Galatia and what you may read when you read the Epistle of Paul to the Philippians. For how different were the Galatian Christians from the Christians at Philippi? Paul had to congratulate the Philippian saints for being so obedient to Christ even when he was absent and away from them. But he could never do this with the Galatian Christians. Unfortunately, they had taken advantage of his absence. And when these plausible, flattering Judaistic teachers came along, they fell into the fleshly use of the law. And by so doing, they lost their affection for the Apostle Paul. May I state, and this is something I state from experience, it is an amazing fact that I find that when believers in our Lord Jesus get away from the true gospel in its simplicity and clarity, they have no use for Paul. for it leads them away from the teachings of Paul. And so it was with the Galatian saints. They had lost their affection for God's beloved servant, the Apostle Paul. Therefore, how full of concern and fear the words of Paul reveal, as we read in verse 19 and 20, "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you, I desire to be present with you now and change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you." My beloved, it looks as though Paul was questioning the reality of their new birth, the reality of Christ being their Savior. One thing is sure, let me repeat some of the facts. They had lost their hold upon the value of the cross of Christ when they turned to the Lord, the gospel of Christ's atoning work. And they needed to be rooted and grounded in the first elements of the gospel again. And as far as their outward ways, they may have been very zealous for the law, but as far as their testimony for Christ, their soul's enjoyment of Him, that was gone. And Paul felt it necessary to change his attitude toward them and sternly deal with their problem. He had grave doubts concerning their reality. Now please know what he longed for. Until Christ be formed in you. Let us realize again it was Christ, a living, loving person whom Paul desired them to be like. This is Christianity. This is the fruit of the gospel, not the fruit of the law. Christ himself. My radio friend, what is Christ to you? What is Christ to me? Is he all in all? Would to God we all had the true conception of the gospel of Christ. It is Christ who died for our sins. It is Christ who is now living in heaven, the worthy object of our love. And it is Christ who is coming again for the believer to take him and her home to heaven above. God wants us to have Christ before us more and more. Well, may the poet write as he long ago did, "Oh, tell me more of Christ, my Savior, on this blessed theme dwell o'er and o'er." And my beloved, I would like to ask, will you not give attention, not to the law, but to the Christ who died on Calvary to save you, and make him the object of your love and your devotion, and be sure that he is your Savior. Father, grant thy truth will be prospered to thy glory and the blessing of all. In Jesus' name, amen.